Way. I had to share it with someone. We're going to dive into our passage this morning. We're going to be continuing looking into the life of Nehemiah. And we're going to read a quick passage at the beginning, but that will not be the one that we'll have you turn to at a later time. So let's just open prayer. Father God, we just thank you for this moment. We pray for a sense of openness and willingness in our hearts to hear what it is that you are trying to say. Lord, we just lift this moment up to you with our hearts and just say thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. So last week we spoke about Nehemiah and the building of the wall. So, the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month of Elul in 52 days. And when all of our enemies heard of it, all the nations around us were afraid and fell greatly in their own esteem. For they perceived that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. Now Nehemiah came back to the city and called for a wall to be built. This was the first steps in Nehemiah's plan to calling the entire nation back into a whole relationship with God. And the building process went along and was accounted for in three chapters. Now, the passage that we read in terms of the wall's completion was Nehemiah 6. So we have three entire chapters where events have happened that only covers the span of 52 days. Now, in any building process, as anyone would know who has built something before, it doesn't necessarily always go according to your plan. You start, keep working forward until a problem arises, you adjust and navigate around it, take some more time to it, and then move forward accordingly. But in these three chapters that account the building process of the wall, there were a number of different things that happened. In our Bible, sometimes we get a verse that covers a year or two of time. But over these 3 months, problem after problem arose through this building project. There were attacks on the nation. Other nations tried to just discourage and unempower the Jews from building this project. There were individuals who saw it as their personal mission to make sure that this didn't happen, and to try to sway people from the goal of whether this was even something important. There was strife among brothers and sisters, whether even building the wall is a good idea. I mean, this is going to put a target on us as a nation. People are going to try to think that we're trying to become a power again. There were personal conspiracies against Nehemiah himself, people who tried to destroy and discredit his person, his character, because of the project that he was trying to oversee. And they even went as far to give threats against his life. Now, Nehemiah and the Jews had a lot of reasons and a lot of opportunity to lose focus on what they were trying to do. There was more than enough chances where they could have given up because it had gotten hard, because the goal seemed too lofty or too far away to actually get into. But the wall was finished, as we read in the beginning, in a mere 52 days. Wouldn't we all wish that our own cities and municipalities would finish projects of that scale that quickly? I mean, 52 days is not a long time to build a wall around an entire area, to reconstruct and refabricate the doors for the temples. And they did it without a huge amount of delays, despite the drastic obstacles that they had. I mean, any one of those could have been enough to derail the project entirely. But God's hand was in it because there was a greater purpose. Nehemiah's entire goal, his one central purpose of building the wall, had nothing to do with the architecture. Nehemiah's goal was to honor God and for God to be honored by the nation. Now, he wanted people to grow in who God was and come back to the relationship that they used to have. This was what was on his heart. This is what weighed him so much that when he heard about the state of the city, it broke him physically and emotionally. So, we want the nation to come back to God. So what's the most obvious and logical way for that to happen? Let's do a building project. Like, let's think about this. Nehemiah desired for people to grow in their relationship with God. So what he came up with really had nothing to do with a Bible study or a personal challenge. It had to do with a construction project that would then inspire people coming from that. Now, how everyone didn't figure out exactly what Nehemiah was trying to do in the first place, I don't know. I mean, that seems really straightforward to me. If you want people to love God, let's build something. But there was a bigger purpose than just building for the sake of building. Now, a number of years ago, can't quite remember how many, but we built an addition to the back of the building. And the goal of this addition was not just for the sake of spending money. Can't remember exactly how much we spent on it, but it was a good chunk of change. We didn't just decide that on the back of the building, we just want a little room for the sake of having a room. But there was a reason and intention to why that project was visioned. We wanted to accomplish is we wanted to have a visual that would connect people into what we were as a church. That when coming around to the back, it was very obvious that this was the entrance and this is where your first steps into Markham Missionary Church would be. That it would serve a number of practical things in terms of being a pickup place for seniors. But it would be a focal point to draw people in from outside the building into the building. We had a goal of seeing more people come through our building and experience the love of God. And thus, we decided to build a room on the back of our church. Now, last week we talked a little bit about following Nehemiah's example of finding projects to do. That we all need to be working to figure out something in our lives that we can be working on and growing and experiencing in order to draw closer to God ourselves and closer to God around us. Now, at Markham Missionary Church, we seek to honor God in everything that we do, but we have crafted, long before I came around, I believe, a mission statement to help give clarity and give purpose to it. To help give a little bit of a description to what it is that makes our approach to living a life of Jesus a little more unique and understandable. And the statement that they came to was to celebrate God's love and good news by embracing all people in Jesus' name. Now, this approach to following Jesus, this approach to ministry, this approach to the way in which we think and the framework around us has a couple different really practical aspects to it. It's about celebrating the things that God has done. It's about making sure that we go out of our way to embrace, to accept everyone at the stage of life that they're at. Now, acceptance does not mean being all right with or approving of, but to accept that when we meet people, they are at a certain place, and to respect them for being creations of God. Now, this mission statement gives us a lot of principled direction. But what practical, specific, measurable steps does this statement give you? By looking at that statement, what in a very understandable step can you take walking out of this building? There really isn't any one specific thing that comes out of this statement. Even in Jesus' great commandment and great commission, there is no specific context that he describes on what to do and how to grow deeper in your relationship and understanding of God. These things give us direction, give us framework, and give us a way to look at the world around us. But they are principles and commands, not blueprints and practical steps. God's direction does not always come to the form of blueprints. It does not always say, at this point in time, this will happen, this will be your response, and this will be what happens in response to that. But we need to have an approach, like Nehemiah did, to vision based off the direction that God has given us. Nehemiah knew that following God pertained to a certain style of life. And the project that he came up out of that was a product of the relationship that he had with God. But as far as we know, reading in the scripture, God never told him, go build a wall and people will come back to me. Nehemiah had no idea whether this would work. He had no idea how many people would really take hold of this project or whether he would be run out of town. He was so concerned about it, he asked for letters from the king to make sure people knew he was allowed to be doing what he is doing. To give letters to make sure that people would actually give him the supplies to do what it was that God was working through him to accomplish. We need vision in our lives like Nehemiah visioned. And there's certain aspects to this process that are true in every single opportunity that we have, in every single moment that we have to execute what God is showing us in our lives. There's almost a three-step process to it that begins internally and ends externally. For serving God in our lives. And the first step of that, the first step of taking hold of a life where we live in vision and live with a focus, is to understand that it begins first and foremost by glorifying God. We need to understand that it's not about planning to do something. It's not about preparing for the opportunity of. We need to ensure that personally and as a community, we are living the life that Jesus outlined for us. That we are following the example that he set out for us. We need to call one another on the issues of conflict that we have and the attitudes that are unchristlike. We need to be doing this in a daily and every moment fashion so that when the opportunity comes for something, we are ready, that we don't have to prepare for it. And when we do this, when we live centered in who God is, in everything that we do, in every moment, in every decision, then we realize something. We realize that God is revealing something, and that God will reveal. Whether you're ready or not, God is trying to show you something, something for you that is not for the person sitting next to you. But if you are not centered in that moment, in your heart with God, then you're going to miss the depth of what he's trying to show you. When we glorify God, when we live in a relationship that is strong with him, we are constantly communicating. We are constantly listening and responding to. And as we do that, that's where the practical steps come from. That's where the specific details start shaping and start revealing themselves to us. It's not that we decided, all right, we're going to grow back in our relationship with God, but it's through the presence that these things come. Nehemiah loved God. He was faithful to God. He sought God out and sought for that to be the case for others. And it was through that that this project of a wall came. And in that sense, it's our work that's the product of our communication with God. The work we do, the ministry that we live in, the opportunities that we have, are shaped entirely by our presence within the person of Jesus. Nehemiah followed God. He heard about how his home was a mess and called a nation back to God through putting stone and wood together. And when he got this vision, it was not a straight path. I encourage you to take some time this week to read through those chapters. To read through the immense obstacles that Nehemiah faced, that confronted him, the people that tried to undermine and destroy him personally for trying to build a wall. But it's through his faithfulness, through this project, that in the end, God was glorified and people renewed their faith in him. Now, Barry said this morning that how many of you know what's going to happen this year? I was really tempted to put my hand up and then put it back down. But the truth is, none of us really know. The future is an entirely large question mark. And I know for some of us within our congregation, we feel even more uncertainty with the fact that we are in transition looking for leadership. But God leading and us not having all the answers or details is a normal and okay place to be. Things are changing. The world is changing around us. Seasons change. People grow. And change is not a bad thing. Change is not evil by nature. It can be scary. It can be unknown. But change is actually the evidence and can be proof that God is working around us to shape something, to build anything, to grow anything. It needs to become more than what it was the day before. And if things are not changing, if a plant is not growing, if something is not being shaped, that's when we really should begin to worry. We have the ability as individuals to identify, to diagnose, and to fix problems that we see. And we have to be a part of the change that is happening within this body. We need to be ready and willing to see how God is leading and to step out in faith without having all the answers. Because things have a destination. We may not know it. It may actually be different than where we personally would like to go. But God has a plan for us and is working us towards a common goal. And although we don't have the details for it, it is still present and working amongst us. Because we will end up somewhere different than we expect. Over these past couple months, I've been reading a book that anyone who has been around me a lot is just sick of me talking about it. Sick of me talking about it. It's a book by the CEO of Pixar Animation. They're this production company that has made movies such as The Incredibles or Up. They've got a new movie in right now called The Good Dinosaur. And the author talks about the creative process that they go through to write a story. And one of the reasons why I can't shut up about this book is because in a number of points in the book, he talks about a movie, Up, or Monsters, Inc., and he talks about the original idea that sparked that movie. And sometimes the original idea is almost an entirely different movie than the one that they actually made. But part of their creative process is what they call brain trust meetings, where they sit down and they have an idea and they discuss openly the concept and what's good about it, what's bad about it. And the culture that they've created is that to criticize an idea is not to criticize an individual, but it's all about trying to refine and strengthen what it is that they're working on. So when they sit down and do a partial review of a movie, they'll sit down and give critiques. Some of these critiques criticize hundreds of hours of man labor and work. But they understand, and the culture has been created, that it's all about the goal of telling a great story. And as a studio, Pixar has never released a movie that has not been number one. They have succeeded in their goals each and every time, surpassing themselves in every moment. And the product that they end up with is very different than the initial idea. But they go through it in a sense as a community, building off one another, strengthening each other, refining the goal of what they have and how to get themselves there. And it's a place where it's safe to do so. And I believe that that same type of principle of an environment is what God is seeking to do in us. He's given us a mission, and we are working together to try to discover what that is for ourselves as a body. And where that road is leading us is different than it was 15 years ago, and will be different 15 years from now. But as the guys say at Pixar, if an idea is pitched and they already know the whole part of the story, if they already have all the details worked out, then it's not a story worth telling, and they scrap the whole project. Because they believe that a journey should take you somewhere. If we already know how our ministries are going to run, if we already know exactly the product of what God is trying to show us, or we already know exactly how far a relationship is going to go, then we're probably not grasping the full breadth of what God is trying to show us. There should always be an element of things that we do not know, an element of uncertainty, because it's within that uncertainty that God is showing us things that are beyond our own ability to understand as individuals. When we're moving, when we're following God, there are going to be things that are going to happen that are not going to be pleasant. Nehemiah's story and the building of the wall shows that. There's going to be obstacles, there's going to be people who are working against us. And that may even happen within the context of our brothers and sisters. But we need to understand that these are inevitabilities that can be overcome, and they are not things that should ever destroy or deter us from the mission and vision that God has for us. From what He laid out to us in the Great Commandment and the Great Commission, from our vision statement, despite the fact that we will encounter things that hinder us, that is still the goal above all else. And if we understand vision like Nehemiah did, we will know that a vision will create opposition. That if we are moving somewhere, it will not be a straight path and it will not be easy, but it will be a trip that is worth taking. We will understand that God will bless those who seek to honor Him. And if you are doing so earnestly, your work will do amazing things in His name. And we will know that our goal does not change, but the road ahead will always have curves in it. It will always take us in a slightly different position than we thought. And if we are exactly on track, everything's playing out that we thought it would, then we're missing something along the way. We need to learn and work and continue in every aspect of our community as brothers and sisters to empower ourselves and each other to take the initiative and to solve the issues that we see around us. In this book that I read, he talks about in Japan how Toyota revolutionized their manufacturing plant by giving every employee the opportunity to hit a red button that would immediately shut down the entire production line to solve an issue that they saw. And this opportunity of empowering the line worker to contribute to the change of the way the system works drove their productivity through the roof and made Toyota at that point, which was back in like the 50s or something like that, one of the most premier automakers within the world by empowering individuals to fix the issues that they see. Because we know that God is in control. And we know that we don't need to wait for a specific blueprint to expand the kingdom that He has shown us around. And when we do this, amazing things happen. So I'd like to encourage you as we end today to open your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 to 6, which is where our sermon finishes today. There's going to be some rough names in here, so I'm going to say the guy. I'm going to summarize. Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 to 6. And all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could understand what they heard. On the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it facing the square before the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden platform that they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood some people on his right hand and some other people on his left. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, and he opened it. All the people stood, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And the people answered, Amen, Amen. Lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads, and worshiped the Lord God with their faces to the ground. As a community, as we follow God, God will bless us individually and in the work that we're doing. He seeks great things to happen from Mark and Missionary Church. And as we move forward, unified together by what Christ has done and the mission that He has given us, we can discover what practical things the Lord is showing us. And we need to be ready and willing to take steps along the way, prepared and ready to fail. Because failure only shows us that there was a better way to do it. And in doing so, in seeking God earnestly, in having a vision in the way we look at the world around us, great things will happen. And just like the wall did for the people, God will be worshipped, and honor will be given to Him for who He is and the things that He has done. Let's pray. Father God, with our heads bowed, with our attention on You, we ask for clarity. Clarity to the plan that You are showing us. Clarity in how to reach beyond ourselves to the community that we are in. Lord, we ask for motivation, a sense of desperation, recognizing that there is a ticking clock and that we have a role to play. And Lord, we ask for conviction in our hearts that the world is broken around us and that there is a specific thing that we have to do as a community to help heal until You return. Father God, we pray for a willingness to try and a readiness to fail, and for that not to discourage us, for that not to deter us from the goals that You have for us and from the great things that can happen in Your community through our willingness. Lord, we thank You for Nehemiah and through a manual labor project that people glorify You. Lord, show us what our projects are as a church and encourage us in the ones that we are currently building, and help us to understand that You are leading and that we are following. And in these things we pray, knowing you are able, and praying that we will be ready. In your name, all God's people said, Amen.